How can we seriously question Eurocentric knowledge? How can we imagine a didactic path on the traces of colonialism in relation to today for an intergenerational learning community? How to make an ethnographic museum a laboratory of decolonization? Concerning Words is a podcast by the Goethe Institute of Rome, curated by Viviana Gravano and Giulia Greghi. As part of the Transcultural Attentiveness Project, in collaboration with MUCI, Museo delle Civiltà di Roma, different points of view, perspectives, and voices are compared in order to ask ourselves together about possible ways of decolonizing our present. Episode 7, Jana Johanna Heckel.
Hello, my name is Jana Johanna Heckel. I'm an art historian, freelance curator, and lecturer based in Brussels. My research is focusing mainly on the history of photography, questions of decolonization, specifically artistic entanglements and engagements with image archives, and also question of ethics, image ethics in the age of the digital. I've been working for the Goethe Institute in Brussels as project coordinator and curator for the international project Everything Passes Except the Past that took place in 2019 and 2020 in various different European countries. And within this project, we took a very critical gaze on the colonial entanglements, the colonial past and present that stays visible in ethnographic collections, public space, and image archives. And we organized various different workshops together with partners like the Africa Museum Terburen or the Musée d'Aquitaine in Bordeaux, and invited specialists, museum experts, activist artists from the Global South to discuss possibilities to work on and with the colonial trauma and changing the dominant narratives. Today, for your podcast and the very interesting and important project Transcultural Attentiveness, I would like to relate to basically two of your main questions. And the first is how to make the Ethnographic Museum a laboratory of decolonization, and how to seriously question Eurocentric knowledge and pluralize the concept of modernity. And I chose as a kind of key word or starting point the concept of opacity from Edouard Glissant, or the right to opacity. Glissant is one of the most influential and important thinkers when it comes to post-colonial, decolonial theory. The Martinique philosopher and writer specifically influenced me and always fascinates me with one of his standard works, that is Poétique de la Relation, the Poetics of Relations. And in this book, he suggests a concept that also a practice, the practice of opacity, which is a kind of counter-narrative against the oppression of transparency, and which basically questions the concept of Western Enlightenment thinking that tends to define to think in dichotomies like dark light, for example, but also develops very violent narratives. And when we think specifically for in the context of ethnographic museums, in the way how objects exhibited, or when it comes to also distinction between object and subjects, we often have, for example, ritualistic, when you think about masks, for example, objects that are not at all regarded as object but as subject, coming from indigenous practices. I find this concept very, very important. And on the other hand, also because we worked together, we collaborated a lot with artists in our project, and artists, artistic works often function or try to function in a very autonomous space. And this autonomous space, and also the question when it comes to politics, identity politics, and all the contradictions that are within defining complex identities, help, I think, to the concept of opacity helps to understand, but also to live with cultural differences, and not to define, to simplify it in a kind of Western also etymology. This just as a very short and very unconcrete, I hope not too unconcrete, introduction. I would like to follow with some more very practical suggestions that we developed during our workshop. And there we worked with all the participants on kind of code of practices, and that we are also, that we published this summer in with Sternberg Press in the book Everything Past Except the Past, Decolonizing Ethnographic Museums, Film Archives and Public Space, and in June. And I will now read an extract out of these suggestions that we developed in the workshops in May 2019 in Brussels and in November 2019 in Bordeaux, together with the participants. So, if museums were and still are colonial institutions, how can a decolonial process take place within them? Obviously, this would imply radical decisions regarding their very structures, modes of functioning and content. Perhaps the first and easiest one would be the implementation of open spaces for community-based exhibitions. The Adelaide Migration Museum, for instance, has allocated a room that exhibits different temporary exhibitions curated by community members. This extends the understanding of communities that museums should consider across the lines of geographical origin, class, gender, or ability. This is also, of course, a very Western idea of transparency when we think about Clisson again. If such a space can be made available and the museum proactively reaches out to communities in their vicinity and encourages them to address topics of their own choice, this kind of open space can become a theater for contemporary debates on migration, discrimination, marginalization, and multilingual perspectives on a wide range of topics, from history and culture to political empowerment, art, or even food. The voices of artists and activists are therefore of central importance to decolonize museums. If called up an external advisors, then museum staff reaching out to them should be prepared and trained to reflect critically on the balance of power of such a partnership and also on their own agenda. If advisors are called for the deep revision of texts, images and narratives, including some from the permanent exhibition, the museum should not refuse, rather acknowledge these demands, even if they extend past the scope of the partnership. This can also stretch to the decolonizing process by radically rethinking the culture of exhibitions. Every single activity in the museum should be freed from racial bias, classicist structures, and gender discrimination. The use of visual material in museological spaces, physical or online, exemplifies to what extent curators and staff could reach out to receive external opinions, which photos should be shown, for example, which ones are violent, which ones can be framed, which ones require a trigger warning, who should be consulted when the colonial gaze is reproduced, what are the pitfalls of having a diverse representation of museum staff and publics, what is tokenization and how can it be avoided, who owns which bodies and representations. These are issues that cannot be tackled in internal debates. The other telling example is the fluidity of temporary interventions at the unmovable character of permanent exhibitions. While European and contemporary art forms are often placed in a continual ephemeral time frame and thus remain very prominent in temporary exhibitions, non-European and colonial collections are still too often framed as timeless and relegated to permanent displays, To decolonize exhibition practices, museums and curators should reconsider their understanding of core concepts of time, such as present, past, future, contemporary era, and so forth, and have the courage to break the dichotomies that often shape museum practice, permanent versus temporary, display versus event, exhibition versus performance, and so on. Another important aspect is the genuine reflection on hierarchies of power and social reproduction and stuff. Every exhibition that engages with binational context should, from its inception onwards, be reconceptualized by at least a binational team. I think this is a discussion that we see also at some, for example, at the Humboldt Forum in Berlin. Ethnographic museums should also gradually ready themselves to consider appointing head curators, directors, and collection managers who are able to unsettle monolingual and nation-based understandings of culture. And settler colonies such as Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, the US, or Canada, the role of indigenous curators in museums is central to challenging dominant and neo-colonial narratives that perpetuate oppression in exhibitions, but also in structures and internal relationships. They bring knowledge and ways to ways of being that confront or at least challenge the obsession that museums have with material culture, taxonomy, and contemplation. Their work reinstates the status of some objects as part of a social environment through ceremonies, performances, and festivities that take place within the museum. They also enable these institutions to become multilingual and metabolic bodies. And I think here, just to come back to Glisson's thinking of opacity, we see various ideas of rethinking and renaming the museological like practice that leaves the culture of like Western transparency and opens a multilingual and also a multifunctional space of a museum that can really be a place of a social engagement.